And let's open the Word of God to Hosea 6. We're going back to Hosea tonight with the Lord's help, so let's go there. And if you're able to stand, Hosea chapter 6. Getting through the Bible, Old J. Vernon McGee used to say, come get on the Bible bus, you know. Sunday night we were in chapter 5. And of course, God's children, Judah and Israel, were being judged. Judgment was there. They were proud, and they would not turn. I think the title of this past Sunday night's was Turn to the Great Physician, because he's the one that knows us, right? And tonight it's entitled A Call to Repentance. So look with me in Hosea chapter 6. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for He hath torn and He will heal us. He hath smitten and He will bind us. After 2 days will He revive us. In the third day He will raise us up, and we shall live in His sight. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're grateful again for the privilege of coming into Your house, and I pray that I could be a help and a blessing, but Lord, I know that'll never happen without Your touch and Your help. So Lord, I'd ask for it. I'd ask for utterance and to speak boldly as I ought to speak. And Lord, may You do what I cannot do, and that's speak to the hearts of men and women and young people, teenagers. Thank You for our church. Thank You for the way You're working. Surely, Lord, You're blessing in so many different ways. And I just pray that You would rebuke the enemy, and Lord, we can't do it. Put Your hedge and cover us with Your blood here at Western Hills, that we may go forward and see great and mighty things done in the days ahead. We'll give You the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank You for being here tonight. Endeavor to always tell people I want to be sensitive to their time, because they've got children in school and work and all of that. So, and I know you are tired and sleepy, and aren't we all? You know, my pastor back in Florida used to say, "I've just come to the acknowledgement I'm going to be tired the rest of my life, you know, until I get to heaven, and then it'll all be behind." No, amen. But a call to repentance. Call to repentance. Verse 1. Let's go down these verses. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for He hath torn and He will heal us. He hath smitten and He will bind us. You know, the Bible talks about in the book of Hebrews, He chastens who He loves. And just like we were in John this past AM, Sunday AM, and how He went into that temple area where they were making merchandise of the house of God and taking advantage of those people by upping the prices of the sacrifices. What did He do? He took a cord and he chased out the money changers, didn't he? He overthrew the tables. He loved everybody we see. He loved them till the end, even Judas, who betrayed, stabbed Him in the back, and was disloyal. But, you know, He knew what was going to happen to Judas, didn't He? He knew all along. And it was sad, because Judas went out and betrayed the Lord with a kiss, and then he went out and hung himself. And what did Jesus say? He said it's better for that person not to be even born. And it's sad. It's really sad. And a lot of times God will chasten those He loves, but yet He's always there to reach out His arm, put them back around us, isn't He? He hates sin, but He sure loves the sinner. And so come and let us return unto the Lord, for He hath torn and He will heal us. He hath smitten and He will bind us up. He loved Israel. He loved Judah. But they were in some really, really bad sin, deep sin. And it had spread. And so, you know, God is using His preachers to straighten this out, and that's what He does. Verse 2, after 2 days will He revive us. In the third day He will raise us up. You know, He's the only one that can raise us up. Amen. Because He was arisen from the dead 3 days after he died and was buried, 3 days later, 72 hours later, he came out of that tomb. And he's alive right now, and so he has the power. If you know the resurrection and the life, hey, you're coming up out of the grave one day. You're not going to stay in that grave. It's resurrection ground. And he can revive you. What's that mean? He can pump new life in you. Maybe some of you need a little life tonight. you need a little pump of fresh air or whatever. Well, God can give you that. He can give me that. If we'll just trust him and seek him and ask him for it. Maybe you're a little down. Tell him about it. Come to an old-fashioned altar. Say, Lord, I'm just a little discouraged. Whatever's going on in your heart and your life. And I tell you what, he's the one that can cheer you. He's the one that can help you and bless you. And he can even raise you up, bring you back from the dead if we come to him and repent. If we'll be honest with the Lord. I love this. Hold your place here. I'm putting the little sermon notes right here in Hosea. We'll come right back. But go to Psalm 51. I think born-again Christians should be familiar with Psalm 51. Because God's not looking for sacrifices. He's looking for a broken spirit. He's looking for a broken and contrite heart, which the word contrite means crushed or bent low, where you're broken. And that's what God's looking for. But I want to just read this. This is David after he had sinned with Bathsheba. Of course, he was confronted, and the prophet said, "Thou art the man." Remember that? And what did David do? You know, it's always been said, David, the great patriarch. I'm talking about the one that killed Goliath. Well, he was a murderer and he committed adultery, but he was a man after God's own heart. God still loved him. Amen? And when you sin and I sin, anybody sins, hey, if you'll repent and get right with God, he's ready to help. Amen. He's ready to revive. He's ready to raise you up. He says in verse 1 of 51, Psalm 51, look, have mercy upon me. See the first thing he asked for? Mercy. O God, according to thy loving kindness and according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me throughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. How long's it been, saint? How long's it been since you perhaps didn't go to an old-fashioned altar at a church, but you went to your bedroom or went somewhere and said, Lord, let me just talk to you. Some things that I want to... you know all about me anyway, so you might as well just tell him about it, right? And make it right. And he says this, wash me truly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression. That's the hard thing for people to do, isn't it, sometimes? To acknowledge, to own up to it, to confess it, and just say, Lord, you're right, and I'm wrong. My transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. So he realized the one he hurt the most and foremost was God. I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. And he still does today, doesn't he, church? He wants us to be honest with him. Truth, truth. Keep truth on your heart. Truth and mercy. It says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me, I love this. Let's read it out loud, verse number 10. Ready? Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I like that. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the, what? Joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness. O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud, kind of like you folks did tonight, and thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips and my mouth, and show forth thy praise. And this is kind of the next two verses, kind of what I believe the Lord's heart was when he was dealing with Israel and Judah in these multitude of whoredoms and sins. I think this is what he wanted in verse 16 and 17. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. You see that? Catch hold of that. That he won't despise it. He'll accept it. He'll come running like the prodigal son that got away. What did the father do? He ran to him, didn't he? And he was there for him. And it says here, do good, verse 18, in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks on thy altar. Hey, the giving and the sacrificing was good, but that wasn't what God wanted primarily. He wanted their clean hearts, right? Go back to Hosea. So verse 2, he'll revive you, he'll raise you up. Verse 3, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain and as the latter and the former rain unto the earth. Now they were under the judgment hand of God, and they weren't turning, and their repentance was not right. Although God was calling them to repentance, it wasn't sincere, is what I take from this chapter, because he says this in verse 4, O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? That's another word, Ephraim, another word for the people of Israel, of course, Joseph's son. He says, what shall I do unto thee? Kind of like when my dog would get out of the way a little bit. We had beagles at one time. I say, Rimshot, what have you done? Shame on you, Rimshot. What have you done? Well, God's saying, you won't listen. You won't hear me. What have you done? He says, O Ephraim, O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as the morning cloud, and as the early dew, it goeth away. Now, normally, when you have little clouds in the morning, what happens? The sun peaks up and it burns off the clouds. Or the dew. You know, it's there for a while, but it dries up, doesn't it? And I think that's what they were doing. Maybe they got caught. Have you heard messages on repentance before? And you just repented. You just asked God to forgive you because you got caught. But it wasn't deep down, and it wasn't sincere, and it wasn't lasting, right? So I think this is what the message is. When we repent and trust God to clean us up, it should be from the heart, from sincerity. He says, for your goodness is as the morning cloud. Verse 5, therefore have I hewed them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth. Now, I don't believe there's any modern day prophets today that can foretell. I've had many people say the Lord's coming back this year. I've heard people say that. He's coming back. You know, and they've got all these whiteboards full of calculations and everything to know when he's coming back. I am a pre-tribulation, pre-millennial. That's what we believe in the Bible. There's some people that are post-millennial. They believe post-trib, and so they believe that the rapture is going to happen after the tribulation. But I don't agree with that, because we know in the Bible it's 7 years of tribulation, 3.5 years of minor tribulation, 3.5 years of major tribulation. And if it was after the rapture, couldn't you just go back and you would know? you could figure it out. But no, I believe God is going to keep us from that day of wrath. And I believe when the trumpet sounds, we're not going to be here when all that tribulation is going on. Amen. We're going to be doing some other things, like at the judgment seat of Christ and such as that. So, but you can't change their minds. You can't tell them anything. But the Lord here, he's saying, I desire this true repentance. He's calling them to repentance. Now, how does he use preachers? I am not one as a prophet that believes in foretelling the future. I can't tell you that. But as a prophet, in a sense, I am a prophet. Despise not prophesying. Despise not preaching. And I am this. I believe a preacher forth, F-O-R-T-H, forth tells some things. When you get up and preach, say, hey, if you don't get saved, you're going to hell. Because the scripture says they'll find their place in the lake of fire, won't they? I'm just foretelling what Jesus said. I'm not one that can predict or do this, but now it's a difference in foretelling, thinking you have some special gift. Now they did back in the Old Testament days. They could tell what's going on, but not now. That was a temporary sign gift. So how's he going to use this? He's going to use, here it is, preaching of the Word of God, prophesying, to what? Hewed you down. In other words, to straighten out. Preaching works, folks. And it'll straighten you out, won't it? I can't tell you how many times I've heard a message preached all these years, and it convicts my heart, and it'll straighten me out, and I'll get right with God and repent. And, preaching works because it's God's Word that makes the difference. It will not return void. So my job is just to say what God says, to foretell it, and it'll straighten things out, won't it? Thank God for preaching of the Word of God. And that's what he's saying here in verse 5. Therefore have I hewed them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth. And thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth. Verse 6. I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. So God's all about mercy, and he's all about grace. Now mercy is God withholding what we deserve. Amen? God withholding what we deserve. What do we deserve? We deserve hell. It was our sins that put Jesus on the cross. Can I get a witness right there? I said it was our sins that put Jesus on the cross. Now thank God that he paid, but he gave us mercy. He gave us an opportunity to be saved, and that's grace. Amen. Grace is God bestowing upon us. You've heard this definition of grace, God's unmerited favor, and certainly it was unmerited. Amen. We didn't deserve it, but God gave us grace, gave us his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm thankful that God sent his Son. God sent his Son not into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be what? So really, Jesus is the first missionary. A missionary is a sent one. God left his throne in his Son, and he left and came down to this world and was born of a virgin. And I'm thankful. I love missionaries because Jesus was the first missionary. He came down here and took our place. And I'm so thankful for that, that we could have mercy and we could be with him in heaven one day. For I desired mercy. God does desire mercy. And not sacrifice. I mean, it's good to sacrifice. You know, people say that tithing is not found in the New Testament. Hold your place here and go to Matthew. Because it is. Amen. I said it is found in the New Testament. Matthew 23:23. How about Matthew 23. Some of you know where I'm going, don't you? You've been tithing for years. The pastor's taken me there 100 times. Whoa. He's preaching to these Pharisees. Boy, he hated hypocrisy. Jesus preached hard against hypocrisy. Verse 23. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise these are little herbs, I think, and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. So some things that God considers heavier, right? What are those things that God really pays attention to? Judgment, mercy, and faith. He wants us to be true. These ought ye to have what? In other words, you're supposed to tithe. You're supposed to tithe on everything. David got a refund check in the mail. He took a picture of it and sent me $100-something. Insurance on that old shuttle. Refund check. Thank God, saving money. First thing I replied to him, I texted him back. He can show you the text. Tithe/save. That's what I texted him. He said, amen, Pastor. Everything that comes in, it's God's anyway, right? Put 10% right off the top into the missions account and be faithful with it, amen? And then take a percentage and save. And you know, tithing, he said, you ought to have done, but hey, you need to have mercy. You need to have faith. And that's what he said over in Psalm 51. He said, sacrifices, I'll just read it to you. You don't have to go there. Sacrifices are for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And when you love God and you realize that He's the giver of every good and perfect gift, hey, you'll want to tithe. You'll want to give Him 10%. You'll want to give Him more. He deserves more, amen? He gives us 90 and He's just asking for 10. But some people say, no, hold a gun to God and say, I'll take the 92. I'll keep the tithe and I want the 92. And when a person has that attitude, you're stingy with God, friends, He won't bless you. But He's more concerned about these weightier matters, Seth, like mercy and faith. He's a merciful God. So let's go back, verse 6. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice. Hosea chapter 6. And the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. But they, like men, have transgressed the covenant. They've broken the law. They've not kept their word. They've not kept their word. It's important when we make a promise to God, we keep our word. Can I get a witness right there? Amen. Don't get quiet on me. It's an important thing. When we tell somebody we're going to do something, we do it. Used to be, men, your word was your bond. You shook a hand of a man, looked him in the eye, and you told him, I'll make this right or I'll do this. Back when we lived in Lake Alfred, Florida, we just got married, our first little house. You know, money's tight, you're working hard, and you're having kids and everything. And well, my lawnmower broke. So the grass needs mowing in Florida. So I go to my neighbor and I said, you care if I borrow your lawnmower? And mine just broke. And so I borrow his lawnmower. And by the way, church, I was tithing. I was tithing. His lawnmower broke. Well, I would always buy him a new one or fix it, have it better than it was when I got it. Seems like when people loan you stuff, it's a bunch of junk, amen? It's rated. So chainsaw, same way. Went out and bought him a new lawnmower, bought him a new chainsaw. I need to borrow somebody's weed, or my wife said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Every time you borrow something, it breaks down and you buy them a new one. It'd be better just to go buy a new one to begin with, amen? But you want to be honorable. You want to be a good neighbor. You want to keep your word. You borrow something, you pay them back. You tell them, you're going to pay them back. Hey, your word means something. Your promise means something. I'm talking about Israel and Judah, they had broke their promise. It was not sincere. They got right, but it was but for a moment. Like the dew. And it says here, verse 7, but they, like men, have transgressed the covenant. there have they dealt treacherously against me? What have you promised God, or what have you promised somebody that you didn't do, that you broke your promise? I know a man that got saved. I won't call his name, but boy, he was a rascal. Before he got saved, I don't know of anybody in this building right here that was mean and bold as this man. And he was a bad boy. Like Nacho always used to say, he was a bad hombre. He was bad. But he got saved, truly got saved. He went back to the Home Depot manager and said, I stole this generator. I need to make it right. The manager looked at him, scratched his head, and said, sir, I just appreciate so much your honesty. You keep it and keep going down the road you're going. But he made it right. Christians, we ought to keep our promises. Can I get a witness? Right. Let me finish these verses. We'll go to one more. It says Gilead. That's this area as a whole. Gilead is a city of them that work iniquity and is polluted with blood. It was bad, folks. And as troops of robbers wait for a man, so the company of priests murder in the way by consent. For they commit lewdness. There was just so much licentiousness and lust and shamelessness. The people had lost their blush and they had drifted into all of this immorality and wickedness. Kind of like in our world today. Are you breathing? Kind of like in our world today. Be careful what you show on TV. Be careful. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says, a house that is divided cannot stand, shall not stand. We live in a divided country today, don't we? Is it going to stand? It's going to wax. The Bible says, wax worse and worse. Yeah. With God, right? We need God in these days. Well, they needed God in this days, and God was calling them back to repentance. For they commit lewdness. Verse 10. Don't get your eyes on man, because man will let you down, right? Verse 10. I have seen an horrible thing in the house of Israel. There is the whoredom of Ephraim. Israel is defiled. Also, O Judah, he has set an harvest for thee when I returned the captivity of my people. And I wanted to go to one more verse, or a couple of verses in Luke 16, and then we'll give you the finish, the application. Hopefully we can end on a good note, on a happy note. I want to tell you that there is hope, and there is a way out for the Christian, for the saint. But talking about keeping your word before the Lord, and I want all the young people to read this too, or see this in Luke chapter 16. Are you there? I love these verses. They should really govern our life. Because I think if I had a life's verse, if it's not Romans 8:28, which that's a good one. If you don't know what Romans 8:28 says, you probably ought to jot that verse down. And we know that all things work together for good, those who are called, to those who love God. But if I had another verse that was one of my favorites that I govern, I try to live my life through this verse. It's a prism, if you will. Through the light of this verse, it has to be Micah 6:8. I'll just read it to you, listen, then we'll go back to Luke. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? Every man in here, young people, hey, what does the Lord require of thee? And he says right here, but to do justly. Do right. Keep your word. Do justly. And to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. That'll keep you on the right path. Are you breathing? Back in Luke 16, young people, look at this verse. He that is faithful in that which is least. You know why we tithe on a $100 refund check from our company, insurance company? That right there is the reason. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon or money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Now we don't give to get, but if you want to live a peaceful and joyful and happy life, you better do it from the heart. Amen. And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, lawnmowers breaking down, weed eaters break, chainsaws, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So, you know, it all fits together. God doesn't delight in sacrifice and burnt offerings. He delights in a broken and contrite heart. And when your heart's right with God and you're truly repented, you'll do the right thing, right? You will, because you love Him. The harvest is the consequence of sin, back there in the last verse in Hosea. But I want to end with this in thought. Come on up, whoever's playing the invitation tonight. And we'll have an old-fashioned invitation. Let's return. Let's get right. The Lord can heal. Hey, we just read it, church. I'm going to take off these trifocals, whatever they are. I'm going to look at you in your God-given eyeball, Brother Jeremy. Look at you in your God-given eyeball. God sees our heart anyway, doesn't He? And He can heal. He can help. He can revive. He can raise you up. But remember this, that God wants to give you mercy. He doesn't want to rip you asunder. If you're not saved tonight, it starts with salvation. You need to trust in the crucified one, the one that gave His life on that old rugged cross. Not religion. Hey, it's not worshiping a crucifix or saying your, what do you call that in the Catholic Church, the rosary or statutes or doing all of these rituals and ceremonies, transubstantiation and consubstantiation with Catholics and Lutherans, trying to actually appease God with your good works and going and confessing to the confession booth. No, we have a great high priest and His name is Jesus, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. So if you've not trusted Him, you can. You can be saved. You can be forgiven. You can have a personal relationship with Jesus. Recognize you're a sinner. And ask Him from your heart, not your head. Say, Lord, I'm guilty. Agree with God. Amen? And then say, Lord, I confess it and I don't want to go to hell. And Lord Jesus, please be my Savior. Come into my heart and save me. I believe in You. You died and was buried and rose from the dead. And you know what? He will come into your heart. And the good news, the good note that I want to end on is this. When we get to heaven, you don't have to worry about all this horrible, defiling, wicked, rotten sin and lust and pain, because up in heaven, all of that will be gone away. Amen. Be a new heaven and a new earth. and the brokenness and the consequences that come with sin, if you trust Jesus one day, you're leaving this world and you'll understand it better by and by. Can I get a witness there? Let's stand.